The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by DraftKings, a Casino Queen sportsbook. Use our promo code WMVP. That's WMVP. Must be 21 years or older, Illinois only.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, it's going to be a lot of fun today for this week. Waddle and Sylvie on the air, as usual, at 2 o'clock. Plex here, Abdallah's here. Waddle's taking a vacation week, and it's our pleasure to welcome in Connor McKnight to not only the Waddle and Sylvie show, but to ESPN 1000. I know he got a warm welcome last week when he was introduced. He's going to be the new host of White Sox pre- and post-game shows. And I believe, Connor, that this is the first time you and I have ever been on the air together.
That is 100% true. And I appreciate the warm welcome. It was really nice hanging out with Carm and with Yurko the other day. I was promised that Yurko's hugs are much more affectionate in like a post and non-pandemic world. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, I feel like I was promised this thing, this big Yurko hug, and I don't get it for a handful of months. I don't know. I'm just waiting.
I'd stay away, Connor. I love Yurko, and believe it or not, Yurko can be one of the better smelling human beings at the station.
I don't believe that. No.
It's true. Like it is an oxymoron too, because he
that's
could.
What he wears, actually, oxymoron from Calvin Klein.
Very good. Yeah, and but he is a big believer in the Tide. In the Tide detergent, and also, what do you call them? The fabric softener.
Okay.
He is an over fabric softener person. So maybe it's because of the stench that his body normally, you know.
Sure.
Then he compensates with some Tide and some air freshener. But not that terrible. I wouldn't be on my list of reasons why we want the pandemic to end. I wouldn't put a big warm bear hug from Yurko as number one.
But, you know, I haven't made the list yet. So far, reasons I want the pandemic to end start with baseball and really most of the top 10 populated by baseball things. But, you know, I got to tell you, the Yurko hug was creeping up the list just a little bit.
Well, it's great to have you. I see you on Twitch. That's how I keep in touch these days while I still do the show from home. I'm counting these days down, believe me. So there, I see you. I could see you. And he's inside the First Midwest Bank studio. So it's a great new way to watch and listen, just like the ESPN Chicago app. Check it out at twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. And we'll get to know you as the week goes on. I look forward to it. I know we talked over the weekend. What did you think of what we saw yesterday? What was your biggest takeaway?
You know, honestly, Sylvia, it was this. I don't know that we as the NFL watching community could have lost this weekend. Like, we probably ended up with the finest and most historic quarterback matchup that you could have gotten on the dance card. But I don't know that you could have lost. If it were Allen and Rodgers, Allen and anybody, if you had either one of those four quarterbacks going up against another, you had it won already going into championship weekend.
I'm with you,
And maybe I'm just, you know, kind of this like jaded, scarred, kind of, you know, soul darkened Bears fan starving for quarterback play of any sort of competence. Maybe that's me, you know, and if that's me, fine. I understand it. It's so me. But God, looking at those four guys, it was incredible. Each one of them made plays. Each one of them made big time plays that kept their team in the game for longer, in a lot of cases, for longer than they should have been.
It's something that we talked about going in. We said, hey, who's got the most pressure on them to win? And maybe we saw it. Wilbon didn't hesitate when we asked him this on Wednesday. He said Rodgers right away.
Yeah.
That Rodgers has that the stigma. It's really weird in sports because Dan Marino never won one. And there are other, like, remember it took Elway forever to win one, and then he won two in 97 and 98. And there's this stigma, and believe me, now I know as a Cubs fan, and I know as a Bears fan who grew up in the 70s and 80s with the 85 Bears, the only one stigma. You know what I mean? Before it used to be, hey, you can't be Barkley, you can't be Marino, you got to win one. And now it's almost like a stench on some of these quarterbacks to, quote, only win one. And we're seeing it with so you had Rodgers with that playing for that. And then you have Brady who lights it up in the first half and then actually has a really bad second half until they clinch it. And then Mahomes, you're wondering, hey, is he going to show you any signs of the bad foot? Is he going to be able to shake off the concussion? And he was perfect.
He was unbelievable.
Perfect, right?
He showed you signs of the bad foot. Like, all night long, he showed you signs of the bad foot. And he showed you that it didn't matter. Sylvie, he doesn't have... Patrick Mahomes doesn't have set drops. Do you notice this? I was noticing this, like, over the last couple of weeks, and just kind of, like, letting it sink in. He truly is a Madden game. There's no three-step or five-step or seven-set thing. He just kind of drifts to the spot he needs to be at and then lets the arm do the rest of the work. No one else can do that in the NFL. No one.
It's video game. It's exactly what you said with Madden. And that you could kind of see that they were sort of playing with teams for so long. We kept giving the stat 1-8 against the spread. They were letting teams hang in there. And then Buffalo gets off to the 9-0 lead. And you're thinking, okay, are they gonna be beatable here? Then guess who showed up? The 2019 Chiefs showed up again, you know, and just... doing their thing. And you know, Josh Allen is an up-and-comer, and he's going to have time, and it's sort of the route that Sean McDermott went after the game, that we're going to have a lot of these coming up, and he wasn't too down. But I want to circle back to what you were saying about Rodgers and about, you know, taking joy and
Schadenfreude.
Yeah.
It's Schadenfreude.
And believe me, I don't know about you, and I don't know you well, so I'm not sure how you... I think I sort of know how Abdallah and Black are going to vote on this, and I put it out on a Twitter poll. You can, and I'm using the term great joy. Did you take great joy in seeing the Packers not only lose, but lose like that? And now they're reeling. Could Rodgers be leaving? And it's one thing, that's our rival. It's the Bear. If you're a Bears fan and you've been through all this, like Connor was saying, that's your rival. But do you take great joy? I want to play this. This is and surprising. Cap had a thought after the game yesterday, and he left us with many memorable things from the short video. But take a listen.
You kick a field goal down 8 inside the 10 with Aaron Rodgers. That is awesome. Hey, Green Bay, you got him at home? You got cold weather? That is phenomenal. Have a good off season. See ya, Green Bay Packers. Data baby!
First of all, Black Abdallah, is that the Joker? That's what is that? In which variety of the Joker is that? Is that he... That's the Joker. He's the Joker.
That's the Jared Leto Joker, though. That's the Joker no one wants.
It's not even the Mark Hamill Joker.
No.
I mean, creepy.
Oh, now it's getting
weird. Those are two separate laughs, by the way. I keep playing back and forth.
That's one. I feel like I'm at the eye doctor for crazy laughs. One or two? One or two? Yeah.
There's the extra beat. I don't know about you guys. This is me, okay? I don't mind when the Packers lose. I take great joy when the Bears beat the Packers, which they've done 3 times in the last decade, I believe the stat, 3-18 in the last decade, including that playoff game. I can't sit here. And I know 75% of our audience was voting that they do take great joy in that. I saw our boss, Mike Thomas, light up a victory cigar because the Packers lost. When Ted Phillips is wearing the gamer headset and George thinks everything's fine in the front office and our team is 8-8, I can't give you Joker-style laugh today and just roll around in the stuff coming out of Green Bay today. You know what? Do you understand my logic? That I don't mind it, but I'm not going to revel in it.
Oh, yeah, I feel you. I mean, don't let it make you complacent. Feel the joy, I think, is what we're talking about here. Feel the joy, but don't let that allow you to take the gas off, the foot off the gas pedal when it comes to pressing your Chicago Bears, right? I mean, this is in no way are you a better football team. Are the Bears a better football team because Matt LaFleur decided to kick a field goal instead of allowing his Hall of Fame quarterback to go for it twice? Go for it really four times when he's inside the red zone there, right?
Yeah. And like, I find it easier when the Cubs are good, I find it easier to root against the Cardinals, all right? I do root against the Cardinals, but like, when the Cubs were winning 64 games and in 2011 and they're winning the World Series, it's tougher for me to sort of get great joy in rooting against the Cardinals in that series.
Sure.
You know what I'm – so – when the Bears don't hold up their end of the bargain and they can never beat them and they can never put a quarterback even on the field, I can't sit here on the night of the NFC Championship game and sort of just enjoy and dance and create videos, TikTok videos, with me dancing, saying, oh, I love that the Packers lost. I can't do it. It's fake. That's fake for me. That's fake stuff.
Well, then between the three of us, you know, me and Black and Abdallah here, we have to come up with whatever permission structure it'll take to get you to create TikTok videos inside the house. That's really what I'm learning here.
One day.
Is if it's not the Cardinals Aaron Rodgers.
It's the Cubs beating the Cardinals in a higher leverage. Or
yeah.
The Cardinals being eliminated from the playoffs or something like that. That's Sylvie's... I believe that because that's where the
right.
rant came from and everything.
Right.
So,
yes.
So what is it that unlocks Sylvie the TikTok star? That's really our search.
Connor, my team being good, like with your Sox coming up here, yeah. when you guys knock off the Twins this year, and it's going to be a glorious year, you know, and you're facing the Padres possibly in the World Series and these two teams who have totally done it from scratch and it's been awesome, and you guys strike out Fernando Tatis late in the game and to win a World Series game, like that's when you get the Joker laugh, right?
Yeah.
To me, I can't sit here at 8-8 and really take much joy out of the Packers losing today.
That got steamy, man. Can I get a recording of Sylvie just kind of walking through that whole fantasy dream there?
There's a
thing. Man.
Liam Hendricks comes in. There's a runner on second. Mm. He represents the tying run. Tatis represents the winning run. It's at Petco or whatever they're calling it these days. And Hendricks gets behind in the count. And it's 2-0, but then Hendricks battles back. And then eventually it's a 3-2 count. And then just nasty high heat strikes out Tatis to end the game.
I really appreciate you laying down the new open for White Sox Weekly. Like that, this has been great. I truly appreciate it.
We are the home of the White Sox, right? Got to play into that. So, and Black Abdallah, I want your thoughts coming up next. I know we're up against the break. I'm in the minority here. 75%, and there's like over 5,000 people have already voted on my Twitter poll, at Waddle and Sylvie. It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Want to get your phone calls at 332-3776. Whether it's about just totally partying and rooting against the Packers. I'm not talking about, yeah, you're rooting for them, and if they lose, good. I'm talking about like victory cigars, celebrations, videos like we just heard Cap record. And then I want to know your thought process.
Every time.
It's going to be haunting me in my dreams. And then I want to get everyone's thoughts on not letting Aaron Rodgers go for it on fourth down. And there's so much coming out of Green Bay with Rodgers' future. There's Deshaun Watson still out there. There's now Matthew Stafford out there. There's so much to get to. Connor McKnight is here. He's in for Waddle. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Phone number to reach us is 312-332-3776. Connor McKnight is in for Waddle. This entire week, Connor is new to the radio station. He's going to be hosting White Sox pre- and post-game shows. You'll hear him do some play-by-play as well. That booth is awesome with Len Casper coming over to handle the radio play-by-play duties. Connor will be in the booth, DJ. We can't wait for spring to get started, whenever the hell that is, because there's more stuff going on. We'll get to that later. Black and Abdallah are here as usual. Boys, what was your emotion watching the Packers lose?
I was upset because I had the Packers minus three. So for bet purposes, I was angry.
You literally followed the green.
Yeah. How many units? How many units were on that bet for you?
We don't talk units. That's for the odds couple.
Oh, we talk straight cash?
Yeah, we talk fake cash.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I had a small wager on that game, and it did not work out. I'm not one of these people that roots against the Packers, though, because I feel like growing up, the Bears and Packers have never been like really good at the same time where it's been a rivalry. So to me, it's always been the Vikings or the Lions because the Packers always just kick the Bears' ass every year. Every year I've been a Bears fan, the Packers just kick their ass every single year. So to me, they're not really like a huge rival because it's like, okay, we're going to lose the Packers again twice a year. So it's the Vikings and the Lions because at least that's a little bit more back and forth. So I didn't get any joy in them losing because, I lost money. And two, I don't really care because like Connor said in the beginning of the show, regardless of who won, we were going to get a good Super Bowl. So that, it didn't really matter.
That minute should be recorded and sent to Hallis Hall to remind them that, yeah, your fans know it's not really a match between you and the Green Bay Packers like you keep saying it every single year. You should get that through.
Go Bucks, right?
It's what bothers me when we talk to McCaskey, and George said at the end of the interview, go Rams at the time because they were playing the Packers.
Right.
And I'm sure George was very happy. But George, you control the narrative on beating the Packers because you play them twice every year, and all that you lose to them almost every year. You're 3-18 against them in the last decade. So to me, like we discussed, I would take great joy out of that. I took great joy out of them beating the Packers to clinch the division in 18. And then since then, have they even beaten the Packers since that one win? I think they're 0-4 in the last 2 years against them.
There was the one John Fox win at Lambeau Field during the jersey retirement ceremony of Brett Favre on Thanksgiving evening. Right. I was actually at that game. I went to, for those who don't know, I went to high school in Wisconsin and grew up a Bears fan, went to high school in Wisconsin. And it's not so much that I hate the Packers. I hated high school and just all of the Packer fans that were there is a blind faith to the Wisconsin sports fan that applies to the Packers. It applies to the Brewers to some degree, and it definitely applies to Wisconsin Badgers, which where I went to school. And it's just inexplicable. There's no way around it. So as I was there at that one John Fox win, that one John Fox divisional win in Green Bay, they're retiring Brett Favre's jersey, right? And Packers fans are screaming and oohing and, oh, it's Brett Favre. Oh, God, he's so lovely. He's so beautiful. And I took the time to remind those I was seated next to how they wanted to run Brett Favre out of town for the better part of 4 years before he actually left for the Jets. This was not received well, but I felt good doing it. I felt good reminding everyone just how badly they wanted Brett Favre out of town. It's a crazy sports town. It truly, truly is.
What was so bad about high school?
I don't know. I moved at some point, you know, early, but right before high school. So yeah, I was the kid that moved into town. That was never great. You know, jeans days weren't actually, I went to a Catholic school. Jeans days weren't jeans days. They were wear your Wranglers and the cleanest Brett Favre jersey you have. Like it was, and I didn't know that. This is weird.
Weird. All right. Black, you're a season ticket holder. Great joy yesterday?
No. I mean, yeah. I don't have emotion like that. If the Packers beat the Bears, yeah, I'm pissed. Downright pissed. But like the Bears are not competitive. And I'm not, like, kind of like what Abdallah was saying, but like we know what our fate was this year, so like at that point you don't have a dog in the fight anymore. So if they made it, sure. Like I have no issues. I don't have like deep-seated anger in my heart when rivals go on to have success. I have the anger and I'm upset about it when they beat my favorite team. Outside of that, I don't harbor these emotions where I'm just like pissed off over it.
Yep. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Justin and Lombard, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Justin?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
We're good.
I just wanted to say two things. First of all, I can't agree with you guys more about the fourth down and kicking a field goal. I mean, even if you missed it, you're you're on the 8-yard line, you're giving them the ball back there. It's better than the kickoff where they got it back almost at the 40 when you made the field goal. I know you wouldn't have needed the 2 points, but another thing that kind of boggled my mind was, I don't know if you remember at the end of the first half as well, but they were running the ball down Tampa Bay's throats, and they got down to first and goal at the 5, and they threw it 3 times. And I was just, like, having flashbacks of Nagy and stuff. I was like, what is this guy doing? You guys just successfully, that entire drive, ran down to the 5, and now I know you have Rodgers, but you threw the ball 3 times and had to settle for a field goal. It was just, it was so confusing yesterday.
I was arguing with Bears fans on Twitter because at the time that I tweeted it, it was like late third quarter, and they were down 18, and then they cut it from there. And I said, hey, they're still running the ball, memo to Nagy. And then they actually then forgot to run the ball the rest of the game, and everyone keeps tweeting me, Sylvie, they only ran the ball this amount of time. Yeah, they gave up on the run, and they gave up on Rodgers. We haven't really gotten to that. They gave up on the best player in the NFL, or one of them, this year, on fourth down when Tom Brady's on the other team because of a 2.5 extra analytical chance.
Yeah, that was the interesting part, at least to me. I like analytics in sports. I like the math attached to all of my sports, but I don't think it necessarily should be the thing that, you know, it's not the invisible hand. It doesn't make all decisions. And you don't give Tom Brady the ball back. Like, at what point in Tom Brady's career have you ever thought, we'll just give him the ball back and see if we can take it from him one more time? Like, no one does that. That hasn't happened since his rookie season. That hasn't happened since he played the Rams in a Super Bowl. You know what I'm talking about? You just,
sure.
You keep the ball. You keep the ball away from that other quarterback. And I heard Greeny on earlier, and I understand that 3 interceptions looks bad on Tom Brady's second half, you know, score sheet. But when I think about the way Tom Brady played that game, I think about him going 6 for 6 on third downs in the first half. He gets Evans for 27. He gets Godwin for 14. He gets Evans for another 15 and the touchdown. He's got another 3. He's got the 1 sack. All right, fine. He's got a 1 sack on third and 10. But he hit 6 consecutive passes on third down. And 2 of those interceptions, I mean, yeah, the one to Mike Evans that's high, that's absolutely on Tom Brady. But the one that's down the right sideline is kind of a go for it, makes it look like a punt sort of thing. That's not terrible. I don't think 3 interceptions is really describing how bad Tom Brady played in that game, which is all to say, kicking that field goal is ludicrous. It's absolutely insane.
Like, think about this, that going into the calculator are all these things that you could just use your voice with, where you have Aaron Rodgers playing his best football. You have Tom Brady on the other side of things, who you're giving the football to. If you do kick the field goal and it's successful, it is still a touchdown game. You still need a touchdown to win. It is not changing much math here. Do you know what I mean? Like the caller said, all it's doing is if you score, you then don't need the 2-point conversion.
100%.
So if you fail on fourth down, you pin them back, and then you still have those 4 timeouts, as they talked about, using the 2-minute warning as the 4th. And then you could get good field position to score there. If you score and you miss the 2-point conversion, you still need a stop as well. So, like, there are so many different things that I feel like, and I haven't even said this, Matt LaFleur has been really credited with meshing with Aaron Rodgers. He's an offensive play caller. Here you are as an offensive play caller with one play, your best play, with the best player in the National Football League to go tie the game, do it. And you elected to run away from your strength, the quarterback's strength, and to let the other team dictate possibly your future, and now maybe Aaron Rodgers' future in the greater long-term picture.
Couldn't have said it better. There's 2 more things, though. There's 2 more. If LaFleur decides, like he did, to kick that field goal, he then has to trust the defense in, like, you know, a two-minute-plus situation. What do teams do when they're in and around that 2-minute thing? They're running the football. The worst part of Green Bay's defense is stopping the run. Green Bay's had a lot better defense than people thought they would all season long. They've got decent pass rush. They're good in coverage, with the exception of King, who was awful. They don't stop the run well. So you're just handing that over to them. Then you've got what Rodgers said in the postgame, where he kind of alludes to thinking he had four downs. And everybody's going back through that tape, Sylvie, and taking a look at the fact that Rodgers maybe could have run, probably not for a touchdown, but definitely picked up, I don't know, four, five, something like that. Depends on how quickly the linebacker reacts. But if he thinks he's got another down to play with, he's not putting his body up for that or putting the ball down for a potential turnover. The hell with that.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those memorable losses for Green Bay, much like when they botched the onside kick a few years ago. And I want to talk about the three things that couldn't happen. Phil in Arlington Heights, you'll start us off next. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Whether you're a Bears fan, did you take great joy in the Packers losing? What about not letting Aaron Rodgers go for it on fourth down and not changing the math much even? 3-3-2-3-7-7-6.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
I know at least two out of these three things just can't happen. Like, any average Joe sitting in their lazy boy drinking a beer, watching the games, understand these things. They're like Little League football concepts. Number one is when you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers and it's fourth down and you're not changing the math much, and you're an offensive guy, and then you're depending on Tom Brady to turn the ball over and punt. Like, you got to let Aaron Rodgers tie the game for you there, or at least attempt to. And then you still have those four timeouts. You can still overcome not getting it. And maybe it's better because of field position. But you cannot let Aaron Rodgers not have a chance there with the type of football he's playing. That's one. Number two, it's like so basic. It's like anything on the baseball field that you know a situation beforehand. You're like, if a ground ball comes to me, here's where I go with the ball. If you're a corner and you're in that position against the Bucks and Brady right before half, and you know you're lined up, especially against Scotty Miller, who's a track star, You cannot let him get past you. Like, those two mistakes are colossal. You cannot just have Brady not try there, and you cannot allow a touchdown in that situation. Like, to me, that's those two plays, and then the third one, Connor, that you mentioned, and it's debatable. Like, if you're Aaron Rodgers, I think you got to take off and you got to run on third down.
Sure.
You got to go for it there.
Yeah, I think clearly he was in between on that play, and whether it's because he thought they were going to have another shot offensively or not, I don't know if we'll ever really know that. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is the kind of guy. I don't think he comes clean on that decision-making process. You know what I mean? It's probably better for him to leave that and leave the ambiguity in there so that if and when he leaves Green Bay because he's not getting along with his head coach, because he wants a chance to, whatever it happens to be, he has that card left to play. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And that one always goes in his favor, that one play there.
I will get into that in a little bit. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. If you're unfamiliar with Connor, he's new to ESPN 1000. He's not new to this sports town. Brand new on Sox pre- and post-game show. You'll hear him a lot on these airwaves. Waddle is enjoying a week off, so want to continue to have some fun with Connor. Abdallah and Black are also here. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Robert and Lombard, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Rob?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're good.
What's up? All right. So I basically have two thoughts. The first is I agree with you totally. Didn't feel a whole lot of schadenfreude about the Packers losing. The Bears, you know, things have been so miserable in terms of just learning to put our own pants on straight that, you know, really taking joy in the suffering of another fan base who's got a much better team and things are going much, much better is just sort of like, to me, it's like the Sox fans when the Cubs were really killing it and then the Cubs would win a playoff game or where they'd lose a playoff game and the Sox fans would be like, aha, see, you sucked. And I'm like, your team is terrible, so don't even worry about it. But the second thing is I will probably start to feel just a little bit joyful if Aaron Rodgers does leave Green Bay, not even just because of the chance that the Bears have, but I've got three brother-in-laws who are just Aaron Rodgers crazies, and that would be a little too delicious.
And I get that. Like, then yes. And I do believe when you lose that quarterback, it's never usually as easy as going from Favre to Rodgers. And who knows, Jordan Love may be good. But then that's something to look at, that if your team can get better and finally find the quarterback, that maybe things can switch like it did in the 80s.
Are you prepared for an NFL that has Aaron Rodgers playing elsewhere?
Yes.
I think I am too. I think Tom Brady helped prepare me for that. I think Philip Rivers helped prepare me for that. I think quarterback contracts over the last decade or so have all helped us get ready for something that looks completely different than what we've seen the last decade. But I am, and it has nothing to do with having gone to high school in Wisconsin and hating high school friends or being a Bears fan or anything. I'm ready for an NFL that has Aaron Rodgers somewhere else.
I think when Montana left, then it like, okay, if the GOAT can do it, then anyone can do it. And then when Favre does it and he goes to the Jets and it's just so, it wasn't bad, it wasn't great, but we had the controversy with him. And then when he's really killing it with the Vikings that first year, you know, when Favre is running around the Metrodome.
Maybe his best season.
Yes, one of his best for sure. Except in that playoff game, which I could still hear the call from our guy, Paul Allen. Here of all places. Or no, that was the Bartman call. What was Black Abdallah, what was the call from, what did he say? This is not Detroit, man. This is the NFC Championship game.
Oh, it was when Favre was a Viking.
Right. Yeah, against the Saints.
Against the Saints, with Paul Allen.
So that was amazing. And so like that opened up. It opened up everything. And then once Shefty went in all in, saying that Brady is probably going to leave, then you had to open your mind up to Brady. And now, I've seen three great ones leave. I'm ready to see Aaron Rodgers leave. I don't see how, we used to beat the drum for him. If Favre ended up in Minnesota, maybe Rodgers can end up here. But it just sounds like he's going to California when he does leave, if they don't mend the fences. Today they were talking on Cap and Hoodie, there are going to be like tens of teams looking for a quarterback this offseason.
I was just doing the quarterback carousel in my head and trying to get it straight with Chris and Adam here, right? So check me if I'm wrong. If Rodgers goes, that means either Garoppolo or Goff, whichever West Coast team he's heading to, because like you, Sylvie, I'm right there with you. I think Rodgers is ticketed for one of those teams if he is leaving. Then Garoppolo or Goff leaves. Watson, Stafford, Wentz, Tua, if one of those Watson trades to Miami makes sense. Sam Darnold, if Watson goes to the Jets. Matt Ryan, I guess, at some point has to be not trusted or at least too expensive. Breeze and Rivers are done. Gruden always wants a different quarterback, so Derek Carr's there again this offseason. And then you've got that whole Trubisky-Foles situation in Chicago, right?
Did you mention Big Ben, too?
Oh, no, I didn't. Roethlisberger is absolutely... Although I don't... Each one of those teams seems ready to... If not ready, then like they're going to be forced to confront the fact that they've either ticked off the franchise quarterback or it's time. I don't think the Steelers seem ready to divorce themselves at Ben Roethlisberger.
Isn't he getting like $40 million though next year?
Yeah, of course he is. And he's 40 million years old. And his shoulder creaks every time he pulls it back. But I don't know. I could be wrong. But to me, it just seems like the Steelers are never willingly going to divorce themselves at Roethlisberger.
I had a mini rant last week. It's what bothers me the most about the Bears situation, where you have so many quarterback vacancies now. The Bears could never get it right when they're competing with the bottom of the NFL, because it's usually the worst teams who need that quarterback. Okay, the worst teams. Now, Kansas City, they weren't terrible. They were a playoff team, and they elected to go with Mahomes, our nightmare. But the Bears are usually competing with the bad teams. Now you have Belichick needing a quarterback. You need Sean Payton needing a quarterback. You could have Pittsburgh, one of the best teams, needing a quarterback. You have all the best teams who could need a quarterback. If they couldn't get it right when they're competing with the bottom feeders, how are they going to get it right against the smart guys?
That's terrifying.
Yes.
That should be terrifying to Bears fans everywhere.
It pisses me off. Tony on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tone?
Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call. Good show. There's a couple things as far as with these coaches and these Hall of Fame players. You had Popovich, in San Antonio that took Tim Duncan out when they were playing the Miami Heat. You had Pete Carroll that chose to throw the ball when he could have ran the ball in when they lost to New England. Then you had this coach yesterday take the ball out of Rodgers' hand. What's wrong with these coaches? They get involved in the game too much. You got Hall of Fame players. You let the Hall of Fame players win the game, and you go on head on. And with the Bears and a quarterback, I hope the Bears keep Trubisky and Foles again, because who wants to come here and play with these idiots that runs the Bears team? I mean, seriously.
Who, but are you a Bears fan, though? You don't want them to keep – and you
I'm
want them
fan.
To – well, I mean, listen, that would just play into your narrative even more, that you want them to keep them, but you don't want them to be idiots. Why would you want them to keep them if you want them to stop acting like idiots?
Any quarterback that comes here will not they will not win with any quarterback here. They just don't have the right personnel. They just do not have the right personnel. It takes that mindset to become an offensive juggernaut in the NFL. And Nagy is a salesman. He's not a coach. He's a salesman. He never takes the blame for anything. He's a salesman. And Ryan Pace is an idiot. He's an idiot.
Tony, I like you. Don't be a stranger, all right?
Thanks, Tony.
Bye. Hey.
You know what, Sylvie, though? Like, any quarterback that is in a like if you have Watson, for example, right? He's got the no trade clause. So let's say the Texans and the Bears get into a conversation, right, about a Deshaun Watson deal. Let's say it gets down the line where you're exchanging some names and maybe some draft picks, that kind of thing. Maybe you got something put together where Schefter's going, yeah, listen, hey, we're hearing, you know, the names have exchanged. They've got a conversation going. The Deshaun Watson at some point, either through his people or directly, is going to go ask Allen Robinson what it's like dealing with the Bears brass, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a conversation that is going to, if it hasn't already, that's a conversation that's going to happen. And I don't know that Allen Robinson, who's pretty well respected around the league, yes, a guy who shows up, gets it done, came back from a knee injury. Check the boxes. He's a dude. He's a dude in this league. That's not going to be a very good conversation, I think, when it starts to reflect what it reflects about the Bears. And I don't, you know, to Tony's point, I could see how some quarterbacks with the kind of control over their situation, like Watson or Rodgers perhaps, wouldn't really like the kind of information they're going to find from asking around the league about the Bears.
I want to respond with that. It's a really good point, and it's something that's really going into the Watson drama, and that's continuing to pick up. No one is denying that this thing is all of a sudden now get better. Everyone seems to think he's going to get dealt. Want to take your calls, 332-3776. We'll address that coming up next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
And I want to give a shout out to everybody who watches on Twitch. It's all brought to you by DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook. Make sure you use our promo code WMVP. Before I go somewhere here, I also want to give a shout out to the Blackhawks, who won two in a row against their rival Wings over the weekend. And the Bulls split over the weekend. They won a huge game in Charlotte. They got me so excited. I was drinking the Kool-Aid by the pitcher's full for Saturday night's game. Put $25 on the Bulls to cover the 9, and it wasn't even... Well, it ended up being close. They lost by 11. But I was quickly put in my place. And the people, by the way, and I saw you wade in, and I'm happy that you did, and that you got a screen name on Twitch.
Oh, yeah, Connor absolutely. McKnight, of course, starting it up.
He's here in for Waddle this week, and he's here on the radio station now doing the White Sox pre- and post-game shows. You'll hear him on plenty of the talk shows as well. And people are criticizing your wardrobe, and they're criticizing your mustache, and they're criticizing me for not getting to the Blackhawks and the Bulls early on.
We're like, not talking enough Hugh Suter for them? Come on, hat-trick in his first game?
This is usually, Abdallah, a fun-loving crew. What has happened to our people in the Twitch crowd?
Did you guys talk about the 55 saves over the weekend for the Hawks?
Yeah, I'll hang up and listen.
Did you guys talk about
Thanks.
That? Okay.
And
it's beautiful. Twitch is a beautiful,
listen,
beautiful.
Don't
place.
Make Puck Dahl and Blue Line Bleck come out here. We'll do a whole Blackhawk show just for Twitch people.
And Scotty Darling's back.
I dare
guys.
You. I come do Rockford. That show. Come do that show. Go ahead.
He's Puck Dahl. Yeah, he's Puck Dahl. He'll wow you with his hockey knowledge.
Yeah. Sticks.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah, I get the uniform thing. I don't have a Bears alumni jacket to wear.
Oh, it's so good.
I can't
you
apologize.
You also don't have a mustache.
That.
That's just natural.
Also, lighting
it
in
is,
here.
It is the lighting. The lighting is poor.
I have bad facial hair. It's what it is. The jeans were not good to me. It's very patchy, but I wear it to cover up the scars on my face, so I wear the beard. It is what it is. Here's
Plus,
what
most
I need
of the
to
time
know.
We're in masks anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Who cares? Who cares? Sylvia, here's what I need to understand. You're not here. I've got Twitch and run of the office. I need to know which valued item in the Waddle and Sylvie office that belongs to Waddle that I can put in Jell-O. For when
he
comes back.
The only answer to that is the Bears alumni pullover, which he's probably wearing now wherever he is on vacation.
I'm told he sleeps in it.
I kid you not. Whenever I bring up an old picture of us, and I did so over the weekend on Instagram in relation to Jay Cutler, you know, with him and Kristen posting the "it's 10 years, you can't break us" or whatever they wrote.
You know, I missed that post. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I wrote verbatim what they wrote. With me, Waddle, and Jay. And sure enough, again, the picture that people comment on, there's Waddle wearing the alumni. He's in on every show wearing the alumni pullover. In every picture I have of us going back to the last 3 years, he is wearing the Bears 100 alumni pullover.
You guys have been working together for a long time, so I'm sure you've explored this possibility. Is he maybe like in a Doug Funny situation where you open the closet and all of his clothes are the same? Like maybe he has like dozens of
no,
Bears alumni jackets?
He's simple and he has one. He is simple and that would be too much to do. He has one and he just wears it over and over and he lives with his smell.
Okay. All right. You know, drink your drink.
The
that's
only thing that I could say that you could do is he's very protective of the TV recently.
Okay.
And it being on the proper channel when he comes in, because he's got to get his stock tips in.
It's going to take a lot of Jell-O mix to get a TV in there.
Well, no, the remote.
We like to have a good power lunch.
Yeah.
A good power lunch, Connor. So if you change the channel and then hid the remote somewhere, maybe that would get out of here.
Yeah, I could do that. I could absolutely. The batteries. Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe put them on a scavenger hunt for the pieces of the remote that I've taken apart or whatever.
You
get into
you
that.
But you already tweeted this at him. Didn't you already share this with him on Twitter?
He ain't coming
Twitter?
In to stop
you
me.
Think,
you plus, know it.
Also,
he's not
somebody
paying attention
coming in to
that.
Stop me.
Do you think he's going to remember that? Do you
no,
know
that,
how much
you're
beer
right
he's
that.
Already
can't
had?
Touch me.
He's drunk right now. Yeah. No, I'm not worried about him coming at you.
He's why, been on vacation for, what, 3 days? He's at least four cases deep. At least.
Oh, Coors Light stock is rising thanks to Waddle.
It's like GameStop.
It always 312-332-3776. David, I'm in Lockport. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, David?
Hey guys, can you hear me?
I could hear you perfectly.
Yeah, talking about the end of the Packers game yesterday, and I'm glad it happened. I had Tampa Bay plus +3, but the everyone's throwing the coach under the bus. And Aaron Rodgers, like Tony said, your previous caller, Hall of Fame quarterback, has he not earned the right to, in that situation, him call a timeout, go to the sideline, and try to talk his young coach out of that situation? This isn't a deer in the headlights Trubisky. This is a Hall of Famer. Why isn't he calling a timeout there and talking some sense to that young coach?
It's an interesting thought. It really is,
fair?
David. I don't know what you can do. Now someone brought up earlier, Scottie Pippen didn't like the play call for Tony Kukoc, and he sat. But even though, and Pippen was wrong, and it's one of the greatest mistakes in Chicago sports history, but at least, like, they didn't punt on the offensive possession. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, someone brought up earlier, too, Pete Carroll and his decision not to run the ball. At least they still were trying with the pass. It was bad. They should have gave it to Marshawn. But still, he elected to not go for it with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback.
I think it's fair I think it's fair to ask where the agency lies here, though. You know, like Aaron Rodgers, if anyone has earned it, Aaron Rodgers has earned the ability to go stare down Matt LaFleur and tell him, no, we're going for it.
So Mason Crosby runs out.
But even that, yeah, well, that's, and that's
Aaron
what I'm
Rodgers turns to the official and says, we need a timeout.
And,
we,
then Aaron Rodgers does what he's longed to do for about 8 years, and that's choke the life out of Mason Crosby, because you know they've gone at it before.
Yeah.
So then he has the conversation with Matt LaFleur on the sidelines, and then you have a gigantic blow-up and a post-game press conference that ends not with Adam Schefter speculating that Aaron Rodgers is maybe thinking about what life looks like outside Green Bay and Ashwaubenon, but definitely the fact that the two of them have to break up, right? I mean, ends up, and that's why Aaron Rodgers didn't do what he absolutely has earned the right to do.
They still needed those timeouts, because even if they score and they don't get the 2-point conversion, you need those timeouts. So I don't know what I don't know, but it's a good thought. I mean, would you use a timeout there and try to talk your coach out of it and say, look, dude, you're looking at me. I'm Aaron Rodgers. I could be one of the greatest all-time quarterbacks ever. I'm playing my best football. I'm going to be the MVP. You're a caller, a play caller. You got a good play. We've practiced this every single day in the limited training camp we had. We got to go with this.
Sylvie, when you put the math out, not like the actual math, but the Aaron Rodgers calling the timeout just to have the argument, no, you're giving away too much. He can't give the timeout there. He can't take it.
Right, right. That was my first instinct.
It's too high a cost. You're 100% right there.
3-3-2-3-7-7-6. I still got to get to my Watson point. A lot of people want to talk about it. We'll get to all your calls. Continue the convo in 2 minutes.